From the Land of Grantia University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 12th day of April, 2017. It's WILL Marathon Day, our spring fundraiser. Dial your pledge of support for the agricultural programming from Illinois Public Media, Public Radio, for the farming world right now at willpledge.org or 217-244-9455. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Jackie Vake. She's at Stuart Peterson from right here in Champaign County. We'll take a look at the cash grain markets with Corey Workman from the Anderson's Climbers facility outside of Logansport, Indiana, where they make ethanol. And Drew Lerner will be here, too, to look at the agricultural weather forecast. He's with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City, and it all happens on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Pledge online, willpledge.org, or 217-244-9455.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Hey, do make that phone call to 217-244-9455 or willpledge.org. Either way, make sure you tell them that you're calling or pledging in support of ag programming. Speaking of supporting ag programming, we're now joined by Jackie Vake. She's at Stuart Peterson. Hey, Jackie, thanks for being with us. And oh, thank you for all the things you do for the home station here at Illinois Public Media and WILL.
Well, I'll tell you what, Todd, I'm very proud to be able to do it. We have clients all over the United States, and they just don't know what they're missing by not having a station like WILL to listen to, and all the people, all of my compadres who contribute to this, because it's one of a kind is what it is. And so I'm very pleased and very proud to be involved.
Well, I'm glad you're here and glad you're proud to be part of Illinois Public Media. And you're right, it's unusual that we have so many folks on the air. And what I think so great, Jackie, about it all, and you said compadres, is that while you're all competitors, in some sense, you all work together for WILL in the other sense, and it makes things really work very well. Speaking of which, what do we have on our list to discuss for today?
Well, one of the things I wanted to talk about last week, and I forgot about it, was the corn and bean carry. It's tightened even some more this week. We've only got 7.5 cents between May to November, and in corn, we've got 23 cents from May to December. So you can see that, you know, there's more demand for beans than there is for corn, but both of them are good. And so I think what's really important to all of our listeners is that they stay on top of basis and keep a close eye on basis, because, you know, the carry is saying that there's still a want for both of these products. Price doesn't necessarily say that at times, and so we'll have to see once. If basis starts to get better, even though carry is better, I think that there's opportunities there. So I just want to point out that it's important to keep track of the carry that's in the marketplace, because it speaks to you. It tells you what the demand situation is and whether or not you should be making some sales.
Speaking of demand and the other side, supply, what do we know about Brazil and prices there and how they're working into the international marketplace?
Well, I'll tell you, it's a little scary this week because bean prices dropped dramatically in Brazil, anywhere from down 10 cents to $1.50 a bushel. So the lowest price they found was $6.67. Most of them were in that $7.18 to $7.33. There was one $9.10, but that particular area is right on top of the port of Paranaguá, so there's really not much transportation involved. And so, you know, how quickly it changes. And, you know, you mentioned international. Well, we've got lower international prices. There's no doubt about that. But, you know, they had a record bean crop down there. And I think one of the things that sometimes producers don't think about is what does this do to the space, and the infrastructure situation in terms of storage. So part of the reason that they're down is that there's just a lack of storage space at their local elevators. You know, Jeff talked to a client this week. He's got a friend who works for a large grain company in Brazil. He said they're just overwhelmed with beans. They have no place to go with them. So, you know, just like here, if you're willing to sell at the lower price, that's why these prices are lower. They really don't want the beans at this point in time. But if you're willing to sell, they're going to take them. The reason the prices are lower is they have to pay someone else to store them. So, you know, it's that, to me, this just is another thing that backs up why it's so important to have any crop that's in excess of your storage already sold before we even get to the harvest time. you know, another thing I think that's really putting pressure on them is the record large bean plantings here in the U.S. Their currency is getting stronger. You know, you and I talk about currency often. And as their currency gets stronger against the U.S. dollar, that means that their prices go down. They also have very weak demand for meal right now because of the meat scandal. And so those particular situations, you know, that'll probably clear it, you know, clear itself, and prices might come back somewhat. But at the moment, all their exporters are pretty well filled up, and they've got what they need, so they're not bidding either. So, you know, we find ourselves in those kind of situations too. It's just part of the business world.
Now, there will be some who have been thinking about the flooding they've heard about in Argentina over the weekend, some really big rainfalls there. But has this caused much of a problem, do you suppose?
Well, at this point in time, you know, we had flooding last year, too, you know, and it's definitely slowed down harvesting. There's no question about that. You know, most of the flooding is in the south. It's probably going to lower. They were expecting 46.2 bushels to the acre on average for this, you know, for Argentina. The north, of course, produces more than the south does, and a lot of the flooding is in the south. It you know, heavy rains during harvest are a bad thing. You just don't really know at this point in time. So, you know, we'll have to keep track of it from week to week as we go. But it's not a nice situation for them, that's for sure.
Did you pay very much attention? I know you did, in fact, to the USDA reports, the WASDE numbers released yesterday. And what kind of things did you see there that make a difference?
Well, you know, I thought it was interesting. They really didn't change the carryout on corn at all, but they did shift feed usage down 50 million, and then they added that same 50 million back to ethanol. So, you know, there just really wasn't a whole lot going on when it comes to the corn side of things. On beans, the stocks-to-use ratio is double of what it was in 2016. And I mean, it's still only 10.9%, but the average price is 60 cents higher than it was in 2016. So, you know, that seems very strange that we could have an average price of $9.55 now with a much higher carryout number. I would caution people to be very careful. You know, we've had some very good prices available because of the fact that we were heavily front loaded on export sales. We've had tremendous export sales. It's brought prices higher. This is an average price. Doesn't mean that we can't get a great deal lower as we go along. And then when we look at wheat, you know, they dropped the good old feed use by 35 million, which wasn't a surprise at all because, you know, we've got a much lower corn price right now with an average of 340 and wheat being at 385. Corn is still the feed of choice when it comes to producers. And at the world level, that's where some interesting things went on. You know, they increased the corn stocks by 438 million and the stocks to use ratio actually went down compared to 2016. It's at 21.4% versus 22%. And so we're a little tighter on stocks, but it's strange. I tell you what, it's some of the adjustments that go on. Beans, they added 377 million bushels to the carryout, and that raised the stocks to 26.3 compared to 24.5 last year. Not real good news for us. Although we might, you know, if Argentina does indeed continue to have problems, that could change again too. Wheat added 386 million to the carryout, and that raised the stocks to use ratio by 0.1%, which was not a big deal. It went from 34% to 34.1%. But most of the loss was, of course, in feed usage, you know, and so it's just a situation where they're making their adjustments. You know, we now had our grain stocks, and so we go from here.
All right. Hey, anything else before I let you go for the day?
Well, I think I wanted to talk about one thing. You know, we so many times we complain about the consumers sometimes, but they do have a huge impact, and this is something I called hummus fever. I know most of our listeners are going hummus, so who cares about that? But I read in the Bloomberg Businessweek this week that U.S. farmers are going to plant 53% more acres. They're going to go all the way up to almost 500,000 acres this year on chickpeas. And it's due to hummus fever. Excuse me. This is consumer-driven. And it really reminds me of when Pizza Hut introduced the stuffed crust pizza with mozzarella string cheese. It literally took all the mozzarella string cheese produced in the United States just for that one pizza. that was also consumer driven. So, you know, we can never underestimate the power of consumer demand and consumer perception. Personally, hummus, no thanks.
Hey, you know what? I've got hummus in the refrigerator this year, but if you'd look last year, it wouldn't have been. So hummus fever. How about that? Hey, thanks so much, and thanks for all you do for us here at the Illinois Public Media.
Well, thank you, Todd. Have a great day.
Jackie Vakes is with Stuart Peterson. Joins us on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media, public radio for the farming world. We're in the midst of a one-day fund drive looking to raise $100,000. We usually do this over a 5 or 6 day period, just one day, so you can't wait to make the phone call or visit our website. It just happens now, 217-244-9455 or willpledge.org. If this programming makes a difference to you, if you listen to it, if you use it, if you find it of value, let us know. I like the $120 level, but any level frankly works. Just give us a call at 217-244-9455 or at willpledge.org to make your donation online. Either way, make sure you let them know you're pledging in support of agriculture. We're joined now by Corey Workman. He's at the Anderson's Climbers facility where they make ethanol outside of Logansport, Indiana. Corey, thanks much for being with us. I bet farmers are anxious to get in the field. Has anybody been able to plant corn in your area?
No corn planting yet of much. Still a little wet. We got some rain over the weekend, the first part of this week. Ground temperatures are still a little cool. I think guys are trying to get in and put down a little fertilizer and spray a little bit.
Tell me about what's been happening there locally. Have they been able to haul some corn in and wanted to at this point then if they're not busy in the field?
Corn movement's been steady now that they're, since I can't get in the field yet, looking for that to probably slow down if they can get in the field, but so far we've been pretty steady.
And what has your basis been like for the past week?
Currently we're at 8 over the May.
So you've got a pretty good bid, but your bid's been pretty good all year long because you've been in an area that has had shorter supply, one of the few across the nation. What are your expectations as we get into the planting season? Will that bid increase?
Right now it doesn't feel like it. We're pretty firm here. Plenty of corn seems to be moving now, and we have good inventory.
And finally, I know you gave us your 8 over, but what are your bids for the day?
Cash bid is 378 at Climbers and 360 at Delphi.
And for soybeans at Delphi?
930.
All right. Hey, thanks so much, Corey. That, of course, Corey Workman. He is with the Andersons. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this 12th day of April. It's a Wednesday afternoon. Have you dialed in your support yet, guys? I hope so, but if not, 217-244-9455, willpledge.org. We're doing this just for 26.2 hours. This is really the only chance you have during the Closing Market Report. In fact, it is to make your donation in support of ag programming. I hope that the $120 level is a good place for you to start. If not, lower is fine, more is fantastic. Now, on the phone line with us is Drew Lerner. He's at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Speaking of fantastic, Drew, things not so great in Argentina over the weekend. Tell me about the floods that happened there.
Yes, some of the rainfall there was pretty impressive, running anywhere from around 5 to around 10 or 11 inches across Buenos Aires, and there was also some flooding that occurred in the northeast part of Argentina in their cotton country, and again, multiple inches of rain occurring across that area. There was some damage done to some unharvested sunseed, and the quality of cotton was reduced quite a bit, but soybeans may have, and I put that in quotes, may have escaped any huge change in overall conditions. Now, the key to that is what happens from now on. If we get into more wet weather in Argentina and they don't drain out and dry up, then that risk of mold and mildews and all that bad quality changes of soybeans will be a viable likelihood. So we'll see what happens. But I think the dry weather that's scheduled for much of that region for the next 10 days should be sufficient for protecting the crop. Now, some damage is probably going to occur with those lower beans, but I don't think it's going to be a huge impact on overall production.
From the southern and western hemisphere, let's transition to the northern and eastern hemisphere. Check in on the growing regions of China as spring arrives there.
Yeah, the central parts of China have had quite a bit of rain here in recent weeks, and they're a little behind in their field work. But it looks as though conditions will start to improve next week. We have one more storm system coming up here over the weekend that will produce more rain in that east central part of the country. But after that, I think we'll start firming up the ground a little bit and warming things up as well. So planting will become a little more aggressive. Just a little bit further to the north in their North China Plain, conditions are really very good with an adequate amount of moisture in much of the region. There's a few provinces that are running a little light on moisture, but that's pretty normal for this time of the year. And with the warming that's underway, there's a fairly good chance that they're going to be in the fields aggressively there as well, about the same time that we see the improvement occur further to the south. So China's on a road here for at least getting aggressive in the fields over the next couple of weeks.
And speaking of that, what are planting conditions for the corn crop like in the United States?
Well, certainly the big concern in the marketplace is the abundance of precipitation that's advertised to impact portions of the Midwest as we go forward through this next 7 to 10 day period. It looks like the western and northern portions of the Corn Belt will be most impacted, and these areas will probably end up with multiple inches of rain, and that could end up keeping us out of the fields for a while. But what's interesting is that parts of the area from Kansas over to the Ohio River Valley may actually have some favorable conditions to get into the fields. So, yeah, they're going to have to dodge a little bit of shower activity, but the rains in this area in the lower Midwest are really not all that impressive in this first week of the outlook, and I think we're going to see some amazingly good progress made in some of that region. Now, further to the south in the Delta, we're seeing flooding that occurred earlier this season come to an end, and they'll be back into the fields more aggressively here over this coming week. And then outside of that, the northern U.S. plain spring wheat areas will see some good warming and drying conditions over the coming 7 days, and they too will be in the fields more aggressively.
Thank you so much.
Have a great day.
You too. That, of course, Drew Lerner. He's with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Joined us here on Illinois Public Media's Closing Market Report. It's public radio for the farming world, and today you're the big part of that world. We need your help. Dial in 217-244-9455 or go online and make your donation at willpledge.org. I'm Todd Gleason.